Hello, everybody, and welcome to XM Cinema. I'm your host, Xavier Mustafa, and today we are discussing Invincible, Season 2, Episode 7, entitled I'm Not Going Anywhere. But before we get into this episode, I'm going to let my co-host go ahead and introduce himself.
Hello there. It is I, the sensational Devin August here. And how you doing, my good brother?
I am doing great. We are here at the penultimate episode of season 2. After a long break.
We want more.
We came back. Boom. Couple episodes. Boom. We're almost home.
No mommies. We want more.
What was your overall thoughts of the episode? Thought it was a pretty decent episode.
This was a fantastic episode. The introduction of Anissa couldn't have gone any more perfectly or whatever. I loved it. And we finally got it. We finally got the breakup. And oh boy, I didn't think I would care. And oh boy, did I care. It made me care.
Did the ninjas break into your house and cut onions?
Maybe a little bit. Maybe no Denzel tear down, but it was definitely a little eye watery, you know.
My eyes was moist.
Yeah. Facts.
Moist is such a fantastic word. All right. So like I said, this week marks the penultimate episode of Invincible Season 2. Mark's life has become more complicated than ever. His relationship with his girlfriend, Amber, is crumbling apart. He's trying to help his mother, Debbie, raise a half-thraction baby, Oliver, and his father, Nolan, is still being held captive by the Viltrumites. Capping all of that. He's been recruited by Alan the Alien to help lead the rebellion in a war against the Viltrumite Empire. To put it bluntly, season 2 has been overwhelming, yet, despite all of these new developments, it has successfully raised the already high stakes on this fantastic series. So let's talk about it. Episode 7 opens with Mark and Amber attending a comic convention where the former is visibly uncomfortable with the number of people cosplaying his superhero alter ego as well as some of his rivals. Regardless, once Mark enters the convention center, he is in nerd heaven, getting to be just a normal 19-year-old fanboy again instead of an actual superhero saving the world. Mark notices that Amber is still acting aloof and tries to counsel her, saying that they don't need to stay at the convention all day, especially because they've been getting less and less time together. In response, Amber confesses that she's just happy to be with Mark, regardless of what they're doing. While at the convention, Mark meets one of his comic book idols, Philip Schaff?
Yeah.
The creator of Sans Dog. And giddily asks him when the new season of the animated system series will be released. In a moment that breaks the fourth wall, which I thought was absolutely hilarious, he explains to Mark that due to the demands of making an animated show, he's likely to have to wait at least a year. He also reveals that the creative team will often cut corners to make animation look even better, including hiding the character's mouth while talking or panning across a still wide shot. And as this is happening, they are literally doing exactly that. And I thought it was great.
Don't forget turning behind the...
Shooting from behind?
Yep, super behind, yo, and what was the other one?
I was shooting from behind, covering the mouth, and the wide shot, where it was just literally a picture. It was, everybody was standing still, but it was a wide shot picture.
Yeah, absolutely hilarious. I feel like there's one more we're missing, but yeah, no, it was great. That was a great fourth wall break. Probably my favorite ever.
But we forgot about the first thing I said. When is the next season coming out? Which is something that everybody that loved this series have been complaining about until they finally announced season two. Then they started season two, and then we had that big long break in between. So they're kind of addressing a lot of the criticism that the show has already got, which I thought was fantastic.
Yeah, it was great.
Mark and Amber's date is soon disrupted when Mark receives a call from Eve that Rexplode has escaped from.
I remember, we forgot. They do close. They did zoom ins so they could do more detail. And he was like, artists sometimes go out of control and the detail isn't like the show. And I love how they did exactly that. They made it look like straight up like anime type thing. But yeah,
And speaking of the mouth, you can't see the mouth moving thing. You are doing that right now in the camera. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
You do that a lot. I'm like, why does he get so close to the screen? And then be like, All right. So Rexplode has escaped from the GDA hospital and has gone on a mission by himself, cutting off all contact with the other Guardians. Mark reluctantly leaves Amber behind at the convention, finding Rex badly beaten by a tentacle monster in a warehouse and attempts to assist him. Rex, against all odds, manages to take out the creature himself, impressing Mark. They have a conversation reflected on their recent struggle, which causes Mark to bring up his dwindling relationship with Amber. Rex promises Mark that the Guardians will cover him next time he has a date with his girlfriend. Back at the Guardians base, we learn that Rudy has created a robotic suit for Amanda / Monster Girl that will allow her to still fight crime without having to transform. However, Amanda angrily refuses this gesture after he says, "Let me fix you," professing that she is cursed, not broken. Bulletproof and Black Samson watch the two from above with the latter revealing that Shrinking Ray is still in the ICU but expected to make a full recovery. Bulletproof expresses that he has begun losing faith in the superhero team as each of the members' personal struggles continue to stack up without an end in sight. The Immortal isn't doing much better, as the physically unbreakable man has been mentally shattered by the loss of Duplicate. While talking with Cecil, he attempts to resign from the Guardians, claiming that he is unstable and incapable of the job. Cecil refuses his request and gives him a leave of absence instead. Meanwhile, at Upstate University, Rick is still having reoccurring nightmares about being kidnapped by D.A. Sinclair. William tries to comfort him, but Rick rejects his advice, expressing that he doesn't know what's worse, being transformed into a robot or being put back together by a team of GDA scientists. So, question for you, Devin August. If you were blown up into a million pieces, but your brain was still alive, would you want us to put you in a robot body?
Absolutely. Without question. If my consciousness could still go on, absolutely. French toast loop late.
I wouldn't mind that either. But, like, I would have to have some upgrades.
Oh my!
I mean, I would have to have like.
Look at you! You just can't have a cane. Dang,
like, can
man,
I get a cannon on one arm? You know, maybe, I don't know, the power of magnetism.
Why in the world would you need all of that in this real world?
Just cause. I mean, I'm already an android, so might as well have some tools to help people.
Oh my, now you want to help me? I'll be happy to be alive, okay? I'd be like, just give me something back to normal, okay? You don't need to spend no billion six. Oh my, you talking so much money. Okay, whatever.
Donald attempts to resign from the GDA, but much like he did with the Immortal, Cecil refuses the request. He confesses that it wasn't his decision to erase Donald's memory. Donald is then shown top secret files where he discovers that the incident with Omni-Man wasn't the first time dying and being rebuilt, and that he chose to have his memories erased. Oh my God, they kill Kenny! However, the realization is interrupted when Donald receives a phone call from William pleading with him to help Rick. Donald rushes over to Upstate University only to find Rick in the middle of committing suicide.
Oh my. No, he. Okay. No, he's not.
He wasn't about to jump?
Yeah, but you can't say that. That's about to commit. Like, he was contemplating. That's why he was on the ledge.
He was in the middle.
Jumping. You said what?
He was in the middle of it.
No, No, you can't say in the. He was not. He did not commit suicide yet. You can't say he's in the middle of suicide.
He was about to, as the young kids say, unalive himself.
No, sir. That's not how suicide works. Because there is no middle, sir. There is a beginning and an end. And since there was no beginning, there can't be a middle. Okay? The beginning is him jumping off. Alright, that is the beginning.
No, the beginning the is beginning jumping is not him on getting to off jump
the ledge.
Because
he can get on the ledge and get off.
Once you put the bullet in that chamber and it's on the way to that head, that's on the way. Oh, but okay.
No,
all
it's
right.
not. You all can't. Right.
Fine. All right, he's able to talk Rick out of killing him, unaliving himself, after revealing that he has also been rebuilt by the GDA, saying that their robotic skeletons aren't what defines either of them.
To be honest, I thought Donna was going to die right then and there, because you know, every video we saw, he helped somebody and then he died. He literally helped this man. I thought he was about to die again.
I literally thought of Kenny from South Park when right. They kept showing videos of him dying. I thought it was just gonna be a video of him like, hey, if something happens to me, put me in a robot. I thought this is what we're going to get. And I was like, after the second clip, I was like, oh, this is what. Okay. All right. That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Morty's mind blowers, you know?
Sorry,
don't watch Rick and Morty. Never mind.
And listen, if I learned anything from Westworld, is you keep rebooting these memories and erasing memories. I mean, eventually it comes back. They remember. I don't know if you don't watch
Westworld. Who cares about Westworld? More people
watch. Who cares about Rick and Morty?
Huh?
Who cares about Rick and Morty?
Yeah. More people watch Rick and Morty than they watch Westworld. You
sure?
Stop it.
You sure?
Huh? You sure? Merch alone. Are you kidding me? Rick and Morty fans alone got the Szechuan sauce at McDonald's. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's a gimmick.
That's a what?
It's a gimmick. McDonald's is glad to do it. Yay, Saskatchewan sauce. Yay, Rick and Morty. Westworld's fantastic. Anyway, at least the first.
You know how much merch Rick and Morty has sold? Not even just them. You can even look at the markdown or the fake Rick and Morty. You can just post where I got a Rick and Morty thing. No, forget. No, you crazy. You wild.
Listen, where this is not a Rick and Morty podcast. We don't watch those things. All right.
But do you want South Park? Whatever. Okay, sorry. Go ahead. I watch South Park,
but I mean, I haven't watched like really religiously watched South Park.
Yeah, but you literally mentioned Kenny and. Like, you always mention South Park, but you got a problem because I mentioned Rick and Morty because it's better.
Mentioning Rick and Morty, but then you just bashed Westworld out of nowhere, so I have to defend them.
Because it's trash, bro.
And this is exactly what Westworld is about. I don't know, Rick and Morty isn't about androids and people, AI, and all that stuff. So
yes, it is. My man is literally Go-Go Gadget. He got everything in that body. You know how many bodies that is? That's like his 9,700th body. There was one episode, he's literally going, this exact thing, dying, going to the next body, dying, going to the next body. But, okay, sorry. We digress. Go ahead.
Mark visits the dean's office and is surprised to learn that it's Bean Winslow. Yay! Which is hilarious.
What's his name?
Bean Winslow.
BN. I thought it was Kellen Winslow, the same guy from Family Matters.
I mean, the Winslow last name, yes, is the same from Family Matters. It's the same guy that plays him, which is fantastic. He is now the dean, having left his job at Reginald Vell Johnson High School. Winslow gives Mark an ultimatum, expressing that he understands that Mark has been dealing with the trauma left behind by his father. He needs to either commit to his studies or commit to something else. Mark tells him that he wants to stay in college and is given a month to improve his grades. Mark decides to visit Debbie and Oliver and laments about having to always leave Amber behind for his superhero duties. Debbie begins to tell Mark about the early days of dating Nolan, reminiscing about their true romance and that teaching him about Earth made her feel equal to him. She reveals that she struggled to raise Mark as a baby due to Nolan's constant absences, questioning if it's a relationship when she feels so alone. Mark and Amber finally get their romantic night together and their relationship seems to have been rekindled. Unfortunately, their date is disrupted by the arrival of Anissa. Or is it Anissa?
Yeah, Anissa. You're right.
A female Vulturemite agent who threatens to snap Amber's neck unless Mark talks with her. Anissa tries to intimidate Mark by fulfilling his father's mission, but their conversation is cut short when Mark receives a call about a giant kaiju attacking a cruise ship. She follows Mark to the ship and watches as Mark attempts to fight the giant sea monster before swooping in to kill it herself in tremendous fashion. Mark then carries the cruise ship to a remote island nearby. She continues to attempt to recruit Mark by telling him that everyone on board the cruise ship would have died if she hadn't been present, but Mark stands firm on his refusal. She attacks Mark and basically beats him to a pulp, starting with probably the most greatest animated uppercut I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, way better than your boy. Superman, way better. Way better. I'm just saying, it's facts. It's facts. Wait, come on. Don't be mad. Come on. You know Viltrumites are stronger than Kryptonians.
How? What are we comparing this to? Have they fought? Is that a YouTube video that I haven't seen?
No, but we know Kryptonian's weakness. Freaking rock. Okay? What's a Viltrumite? Look, a Viltrumite has...
A Viltrumite is a controlled... Petroleum. Is a Kryptonian. I don't care what anybody say. This is their version of a Kryptonian.
What is?
The Viltrumites. That's all they are. They're Kryptonians.
Yeah, but they're better because they have to work at it. Kryptonians were just blessed with their powers. Are you kidding me? Zod literally just floated and was able, like, he had his powers for, 20 seconds and was able to go toe-to-toe with a man that had his powers for 20-some years now? No.
So if you walk up to a vending machine and it gives you a Coke, versus if you go up and give the vending machine a dollar and it gives you a Coke, at the end of the day, you still got a Coke, right? So what's the difference?
What? No, that's not what. How does that make sense in this scenario?
I don't know. I seen something on Facebook about a vending machine that tickled me, so I thought I'd bring it back.
You must.
All All right, so she gives Mark the hands, beats him into submission, but fails to get him to comply, and abandons him. Cecil arrives and tells Mark that until the Vitramite invasion plot is halted, he can no longer take any days off. Instead of just having Anissa and Mark have a battle of fisticuffs, the unpredictability of this set piece is a major highlight. Having two reluctant teams team up to fight a kaiju makes this confrontation feel vastly different from many of Mark's prior battles. Anissa's aligned with the Viltrumites. It is abundantly clear that she is not going to switch sides and team up with Mark. Although the fact that she insists him with the kaiju proves to be an intriguing moment. Badly bruised, Mark returns to Amber's dorm room. Amber finally breaks down, claiming that after nearly being killed by Anissa, she no longer feels safe, explaining that she no longer feels any agency. Despite Mark trying to talk to her, talk about how his mother dealt with Nolan, Amber breaks up with him. Both in tears, the two embrace. Mark has already faced some dire situations throughout the series, but in this moment with Amber, it's portrayed with the same maturity and depth as many of the other dramas in the series. Thoughts on that?
Again, I'm going to say I didn't know the scene would hit that hard. I mean, the way she said she tried and that hurt. I felt that breakup scene. I haven't lived through a couple breakups, you know what I'm saying? It was, bring up bad memories, you know what I'm saying? But no, great scene.
In the post-credit scene, Anissa reports back to General Craig, where she informs him about Mark's refusal to align with the Viltrumites. Suddenly, the two spot Alan flying near the ship, and a fight ensues, resulting in Alan allowing himself to be captured in an attempt to get closer to Nolan. I thought that was a funny scene. Alan is hilarious. He's probably one of my favorite characters.
Yeah, he's absolutely hilarious. When she hit him, he's like, oh, that hurt a lot more. Let me see how this works. And he hit him back. I was like, oh, he's stronger than Invincible. Look at that. But I think you're forgetting something.
Oh, I'm going to it. I got it next. And I dig it out of order. My bad. Mark receives a phone call from his mom, but when he picks it up, it is not his mom. It is Angstrom Levy, who I just realized is played by Sterling K. Brown. Did not know that.
I didn't recognize his voice. Son Adobu of Wakanda, his cousin, T'Challa, his brother. T'Chaka, King of Wakanda. How you not know? Disrespectful. This honor your whole family.
He is holding Debbie and Oliver hostage. Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Ooh, it's going to happen. He said, what time you get home? I'm like, oh, that's so cold. That's so cold.
Like, we're waiting on you. Dinner is on the table.
My sis! It's a knuckle sandwich!
Alright, anything you want to say about this episode before we get out of here? Great fight scenes.
What?
I said great fight scenes. Even the one with Alan and Anissa, or Anissa, however you say her name.
No, I thought it was great. Saying it right. You said what?
Alan gave her those hands real quick. She was bleeding. She's like, wait a minute. You're not this strong. And then he played like he was knocked out. So he'll capture her. It was great.
It was great, but I'm glad. I didn't really think, like, when I was watching it, I was like, why would he do this? But now it makes total sense. And he said, he wants to get closer to Nolan. And, yeah, super smart. But it's a little risky. Hey, it's gonna dissect you, my dude. What is you doing?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to go to the Viltrumite planet and try to fight all of them. Because as we can see, they give people hands. They shattered Invincible's glasses in an uppercut. Just tore stuff all up.
Yeah, that, yo, my man went straight flying up to the sky, and then she double axe handled him back down. Like, that's, bruh, that, yeah, that fight seems cold. Anissa, she probably my favorite Viltrumite other than Omni-Man, of course, but Anissa, great. She was like, look, man, we here to help. We can cure these people. These people suck. They're like, she was like, tens of billions of them going to die in the next couple of years. But we can stop that. I was like, okay, girl Thanos, look at you.
Alrighty. So with that being said, all of our information is in the show notes, all our social medias, and until next time, make sure you guys take care of yourselves and each other, and may the Force be with you.
Because this is the way.